Just very short about myself. Yes, I'm a PI at the University of Bern, but I'm also CEO of two Swiss marine science organizations. One is called Sail and Explore, the other one is called Dive and Explore. With Sail and Explore, we have started 8 years ago to look into the invisible plastic fraction, so everything below 0.3 millimeter, and we have started as a very first organization to conduct long-term monitoring on this plastic fraction to understand how much of these smaller size plastics are out there, because that's very important, obviously, if you want to go into human health or risk assessment. So, So we already have heard that science is very important, right? We need good, strong scientific data to argue, to communicate. Otherwise, this treaty will never go through. So, but do we have really, really good, strong scientific data out there? Is what we are looking at really good data or not? And how is the scientific communication being done from our side, the researchers, but also like from people like you here in the audience? So if you look, for example, at these pictures here, yeah, we all see all these huge plastic carpets floating around, right? And some people still believe that we have plastic islands out there, but that's just not existing, okay? So that's not there. And also the numbers that have been communicated in the last couple of years, you all have heard these gigantic numbers of plastics floating in the open ocean. Yeah, sure, the numbers are extremely high, but if you have a deeper look into the, all these models from the research side, right, then we also have to see that these models are all wrong. It's models, right? And some of them have even proven that these numbers are much smaller. Still, there is a lot of plastic out there, but just to get the clear picture. I'm pretty sure that all of you know about the gyre systems, that there are these five huge, gigantic water streams out there, and the most well-known one is the one here very in orange in the middle, the North Pacific garbage patch right next to Hawaii. And that's also something that people often get wrong if they, for example, see a slide like that. They think, yeah, okay, that's the most polluted area in our oceans, but that's just not true, right? That's just where we have the most scientific data, okay? So that's why you don't see any orange color in the South Pacific or the South Atlantic, for example. And if you go into such a gyre, then it looks like that. Oh, whoa, there's no plastic. Wow, yeah, that's what it is. Okay, so you go out there, you buy boat, okay, you collect your samples, and most of the time it's just blue. Okay, so it's really important that we communicate in the right way from the science side already. Okay, not just publishing the paper and have some fancy titles, and then media takes them over and creates whatever out of it because they look for the highlights. The headlines and some highlights, whatever. But we really need to take care from all areas that we communicate this data and these pictures in the right way, right? That we talk about the right stuff. Okay, so now let's talk about food. I'm pretty sure that every one of you knows this, that we are supposed to consume like a credit card, right? Every week or month, I forgot about it, I don't know. Or even a full spoon of plastics, right? But is this really true? Do we really consume that much plastic? You just believe what you read in media, right? So we are literally already all made out of plastic because we already are exposed to plastic from our very early life, right? And most of you might have also seen this, so this is not the title of the publication, but still it's, it comes out of a scientific publication, that researchers have found microplastics in human blood for the first time. Nanoplastic, hundreds of thousands of nanoplastic pieces have been found in bottled drinking water, in PET, so we all drink a huge amount of nanoplastic. And the last one that came out a couple of months ago, that researchers have found microplastic in the human brain. But again, I ask all of you, is this really correct? Is this really good data, right? So, a couple of months ago, I don't know if you know this article, please look it up. It has been published in The Guardian. Some other bigger newspapers in Germany and other countries also have communicated this. They doubted all this data, okay? And so a big problem is that just because scientists can publish something, you know, also in high-ranked journals like The Lancet or Nature, doesn't mean that it's good data, okay? And it's good science, just to get this very right. So the problem really is that they have figured out that a lot of this stuff that has been published is really poor data, okay? It's not true at all. Oh, wow, big news. Okay, so let's change a bit the focus right now. If you look on our planet Earth, right? So there it's us, a lot of animals and plants, okay? And everything is mainly made out of carbon, some hydrogen, phosphate, oxygen, but carbon is mainly out there, right? Also, if you look into the ocean, right? Everything, we see everywhere carbon.
What is plastic again?
No, it's not spaghetti, but the spaghetti one is a really good picture. It's carbon, okay? It's a carbon-based material because it's zoo or phytoplankton, okay? It's an organic material, a carbon-based material. So our planet literally is just a huge carbon soup, okay? That's our planet Earth, okay? And we are part of this soup. You can choose whether you're the carrot or you're the spaghetti or whatever in there, okay? So and what is now the big problem that we are facing from the scientific field, right? Why is there now this bad data out there? Okay, I'm just standing here and saying, like, wow, there's this really bad data. So if you look on a human brain, for example, let's go back to this brain study, for example. Keep it simple. So the human brain consists a lot out of fat tissue, okay? So and if you have a look into the fat molecule without going into detail, you can see that there is this fatty acid tail here. And the molecular structure of this fatty acid tail shows you that it's literally carbon, carbon, carbon. So all the C's are carbon atoms, right? And the H is here is hydrogen, okay? And so, and if you now look on a polyethylene single-use packaging material, oh my God, it looks the very same, okay? So this is a small problem that we have here because from a scientific point of view, if we do the analytics on those materials, if we try to extract, for example, those plastics out of the food matrix, for example, or the environment in general, we look literally at the same stuff, okay? And some people then start to have a look again properly into this publication regarding the brain study, and they figured out that those researchers literally just looked at fat and not at the brain or at plastics, let's say, sorry, not always on the brain, but not on plastics, okay? So that's a huge problem. So we really need to take care to really do good science, okay? And not all the science out there is good. So what have we now done from our side, from the University of Bern side? So I developed two very smart approaches. One is a top-down and one is a bottom-up. I'm not going into detail here. If you're really interested in it and want to do the nerdy talk, come to me and speak with me about it. So, but what can we do? So I have established a workflow that enables us at Univern to make, for example, from food contact material, but also pharmaceuticals, because a lot of the pharmaceuticals are packaged into plastic containers or the lid is made out of plastic, right? We can make out of this bulk food contact material, for example, the micro and the nano version, keeping its complexity from a chemical point of view, as we have heard, that's very important, right? Okay, so that's pretty cool, because we can now use these plastics, okay? We can make out of this Coca-Cola, and also the Rella, nanoplastics. So these are tiny little plastic particles at the size of 10 to the power of minus 9. You cannot see it. It's so small, okay? And the cool thing is that we can use these plastics now and we can have a look. What do we have? So we make these nanoplastics, for example, out of the PET bottle of Coca-Cola. Then we can characterize it. We can understand the limitations if it's about detection analysis of these materials, right? Because it's not so straightforward. And how does it interact now? Or how does the analysis work if we add more complexity? In this case, sugar, if it's cheese, fat, etc., etc., to really understand, are we at the end maybe looking at plastics or not, if we extract the food matrix and we just try to dissolve it and filter it and do the proper analysis, okay? So that's very important. And so we came up with this very smart approach. We have already signed an NDA with one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies out there, cannot say the name, confidential, to look on their pharmaceuticals if they are contaminated or not. Because we all want to know, do we really consume plastics or not, correct? So, and just maybe here very brief to see, so what you are looking at here, these are human immune cells. So the bluish stuff there, that's the nuclei, the DNA. And the red one, that's just the cell membrane. And whatever is turquoise here, that's the Coca-Cola, PET, nanoplastics in there, right? So those cells, they do take the stuff up, okay? So at Univern, we are now on our way to hopefully in the upcoming year come up with a spin-off company. And we are looking for venture capitalists who want to invest into that, by the way. To really conduct the very first micro nanoplastic analysis in complex matrices like food, also to focus at least on food, but also on pharmaceuticals. Okay, because it's so important that we really understand what are we looking at and what it exactly is. And I can only push again what my colleagues have highlighted beforehand. we need to understand, is the plastic the problem? Is it the additives, right? And is the size, does the size matter? You know, when I started to work on this topic 10 years ago, everyone had this picture out there. Okay, plastic fragments to microplastic, fish eats the microplastic, we eat the fish. Yeah, well, I don't eat the gut of the fish. I don't know about you guys, right? Different cultures. I'm from Switzerland. We don't eat the gut. I only eat the filet. And in the filet, I can guarantee you there is no microplastic. Maybe nano, but no microplastic. So we need to understand it. And this is something we need to communicate in the right way, okay? Because if you all, I don't know your background, but if you really want to make this treaty go through, then you need to know what you're talking about, what you're looking at, if the data is strong or not. Thank you very much.